This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. The ongoing investigations into cases involving the Sedition Act is the thing about it is it generates a lot of public debate on the freedom of expression. One such movement which has come out of this development is Solidarity for Azmi Sharum, a University Malaya-led project that has the backing of the university's Academic Staff Association and Student Association. UM Economics Lecturer Dr. Lee Hock An, as well as UM student Vince in the studio with me to discuss their cause and how they feel about the whole, Azmi Sharum and this solidarity. Welcome to the show. How are both of you today?
Hi.
Very good.
Yeah. Wonderful to have you both on. What is the objective of Solidarity for Azmi Sharum? Vince, you want to tell me how this was set up?
Yeah, Dr. Azmi Sharum was actually, he is one of my lecturers in the law faculty. I'm currently in my fourth year. The 2nd of September 2014. He was charged with the sedition offence, and many of us, my classmates as well as faculty mates, together with academics, we went to court to support, give some moral support for Dr. Azmi Sharum. It was after the court's the charge, we met up several student leaders representing several student bodies as well as the staff academics from University of Malaya. We decided to launch a campaign called the Solidarity for Azmi Sharum campaign. With three demands of this campaign is, number one, to end all the charges towards Dr. Azmi Sharum, as well as to end all the selective prosecution towards dissenting voices in this country. That's our first demand. Second demand is that academic freedom to be respected by the authorities, whether for students or academics. And third is to Mansur Akhtar Hasutan, abolish the Sedition Act.
Sure. I like the word demands. Very powerful indeed. But that's basically what you would like to see through the movement. You know, Hock An, when we talk about student activism, we don't really have much of a history, do we? I mean, with the exception of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim and Hishab Muhyiddin Rais, they were probably the last known, well-known student activists that we know of. Mm-hmm. What's your take on student activism and how important is it as a lecturer?
I think it is vital. I think it can find various expressions, you know, not just in public demonstrations. But I think even more importantly, I think students, you know, being politically aware and mindful of issues of national and social importance. Mm-hmm. But obviously, having this kind of public gatherings and more overt solidarity is also important. And it does say something about our education system that, as you pointed out, probably since the 1970s, you know, you had a long period of very dormant. I mean, it has, there are certain trigger points, of course, usually a time of political turmoil where students, with their principles, their ideals, you know, they're the ones that are really, they get, very embroiled in these issues. They have surfaced, but it's been a bit dormant. I would still say, though, that the last few years, I mean, this is one particular a surge, but you know, things have been simmering, I think, over the last few years. You see, students being bolder. They are making their stance on principle, and for me, witnessing the students, march for academic freedom. They were in that case against Professor Muhammad Ridwan when he was removed as chief of the UM Center for Democracy and Elections. The students were the ones, that marched and made a stance against that kind of political interference.
You are the UM Academic Staff Association coordinator for Solidarity.
Yeah, specifically for this Solidarity for Azmi Sharum.
But let's just go back a little to the dismissal of Professor Dato' Dr. Muhammad, who was let go from his post as director of the University Malaya Centre for Democracy and Elections, as you mentioned earlier. How did the staff take to all of this?
I think the staff reaction was really, quite absent. It was very hard to discern what people were thinking or feeling. I mean, certainly when it was only the students who had a public gathering then, just a smattering of staff, myself and a few others were there, and we were really more just witnesses and instead of being participants with it. So I think there is still some very comfort zone kind of overall feeling and attitude that people just want to do their own thing private in their own academic work in private, and so nobody, very few would be provoked out of that comfort zone with something like what happened to Professor Redwan. I mean, it is also,
it's not the
best
thing,
in terms of magnitude, obviously, right? There is a difference between losing a post, an academic post. He's still a professor, versus being charged under sedition. So with this, what's happened to Azmi Shahram, I think it's, there's something that's been provoked, a reaction that, the sense that we get from many who came to the rally and even speaking with friends and colleagues, it's just gone too far.
Vince, what got you involved in student activism?
I think it's also regards to the prosecution and persecution of one of my batch mates. He was involved in this anti-PTPTN rally, demanding for free education in Malaysia, free tertiary education, that is, back in 2011. He got suspended for one semester. So I feel that as a batch mate, as a law student, I should do something. So during his charge in our university tribunal, 40 of us law students, first year back then, we demonstrated outside the proceedings room, the Hal Ewah Pelajar University Malaya building. So I think that sparked my interest in student activism, that students can do something to make change happen.
Any repercussions from that demonstration?
No.
None at all.
It's perfectly our rights, and I think the university knows that.
You can. Okay, let's talk about the UUCA, a very controversial piece of legislation. Mm. Some of you are calling for the repeal or to abolish the UUCA. Some say it should be amended. What are your thoughts, Lee? Because I had I remember having Sharizan Johan on my show about 2 years ago. It was Shad Farooqi, who's our constitutional expert, and he said, the UUCA is like the Companies Act companies. So there's no need to abolish it, but maybe some amendments can be made. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think universities, need a structure. They need a legal regulatory framework for how they operate. But right now, the system is biased in that it, there is a spectrum of freedom and control, right? Or maybe not spectrum, but the two elements.
Yeah.
But basically, I think the regulatory framework can operate as providing freedom subject to certain limits, or be oriented towards setting limits, and then but aside from those limits, then you have freedom. Mm-hmm. So in maybe more practically speaking, a university could be governed in a way that says to the students, you are free to do this and this and this, right? Activities and what you can say, except for certain things like hate speech. That's where you cross the line. Discrimination. If you're defaming, and that sort of thing, that's what we would stand for, I think, myself and with the movement. But the current system that we have is oriented towards, for everything you have to ask for permission. So it's starting out with we have must control. It's control-minded, basically, instead of, being more freedom-oriented.
Right. Is this movement allowed under the UUCA, the Universities and University Colleges Act?
We have not given that much thought to it because, frankly, we care more for the Constitution.
Okay, that's interesting.
And to, as in, we've never been part of our discussion. Oh, are we, you know, are we complying with the UUCA? Are we upholding the Constitution? What have, you know, and in our principles, in our statements, in our conduct, you know, are we... We are referring to our primarily to the constitutional guarantees, our rights, the freedom of expression, that's our starting point. I think we will and our end point as well.
Right. Political activities, is that even allowed on campus?
In 2012, University of Malaya, there's this Code of Conduct for Political Activities. This is the post-UUCA amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that particular rules and regulation actually exists in contradiction with the amendments of the UUCA. The amendments of the UUCA was to allow students participation in politics. Right? But however, the university regulations prohibits political activities in campus. And we have to report any political activities we participated outside of the university to the university administration. This is very restricting our rights, and it's as if we are treating us like kids.
Right. You know,
can I just add something very important here? I think we really need to abandon. We need to rip apart and throw in the rubbish bin this the notion of what is political, as implied in that kind of question and in the way that the universities are being administered. It's as though that there are some things that are academic and there are some things that are political, and that you can separate the two.
They're distinct.
I mean, we are political beings. We live in a nation state. We are citizens and we're engaged in political thinking and activities all the time. It's not in both public and private. I mean, those who want to restrict, those who would say to students, don't participate in these kind of gatherings or so-called political, just stay in your classroom and in your room and library and study, they are making a political decision to suppress dissent, to control thinking, which is preserving the power of a political regime.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we need to get worked up about it, actually. I think really, we should just calm down about this, that to say for a fact that we are engaged in political, what we are doing is political, and what the university does as well is political,
mm-hmm.
and so that the issue that really should not arise at all. But one thing that we have been careful is that we are nonpartisan, so we have constituted our campaign the demands that we make as well are on principle. We leave it to the public, what they think about it and whether they would join us. Now, if people who come on board have political affiliations, who are we to stop them, right? But, we are not partisan in our objectives and in our conduct.
But don't you think you come across as being partisan just by the fact that you're sort of, championing. What are you championing? What are you championing?
Well, I think Vince had...
Yeah,
do you want to reiterate?
Before I finish my sentence.
Yes, academic freedom is an issue of no compromise for us, because it's a very essential criteria for us to have quality tertiary education. Based on my observations, I think that we are the last generation of Malaysians to enjoy minimum quality tertiary education from the way things are at the moment. If more and more repression towards the mahasiswa, the academics, we will see that we will fall even further down the university rankings. Recently, we got up University Malaya 151 in the world, but we are unable to produce those type of world-class students competent enough for the global market.
And this is what's required. freedom to express, to think
critical
out of the box.
Thinking.
Yes, mm-hmm. critical thinking, things like that. We're discussing academic freedom and student activism in the studio with me, Dr. Lee Hock An, who's the economics lecturer at University of Malaya. He's also the UM Academic Staff Association Coordinator for Solidarity for ASMI, Sharum. Vince Tan, who's a law student from UM, also one of the campaign coordinators. If you have a question for them, send it through. It's 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon, and if you've just joined us, welcome. It is The Bigger Picture, and I'm Mira Sefasodhi. Dr. Lee Hock An, who is the economics lecturer from UM and UM Academic Staff Association Coordinator for Solidarity for ASMI, Sharum. Vince Tan, who's a law student from UM, also part of this campaign. We're discussing academic freedom and student activism. Interesting that you spoke about, you know, why you feel, freedom of expression is really important going forward, Vince. But are you afraid that you will fall on the wrong side of the law as well?
I think I have long overcome that culture of fear that was intended to be imposed upon us. When you reach a certain point of a time where you realize that doing the right thing is more important than anything else, it becomes your principles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, without fear or favor, we did this campaign. Right.
And is your family behind you in this?
Yes, they are very supportive.
Really? Well, hats off to them.
Yeah.
I can imagine most parents really, really upset by this because, you know, your future is at stake here. Mm. So they are behind you.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference?
Yeah. I think that's why, of course, parents being parents, they always
concerned.
They remind us to be mindful of our actions.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first started activism, they didn't take it that easy. But after a while, you know that what you're doing the right thing, somebody has to do it, and the support comes from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to mention one of my friends, Dalbinder Singh in Penang. He has been charged, he's investigated under sedition. You have to speak up. If not, more and more people will get charged. And it's something that's very close to our heart because it might be you next. So if there are no one else left to speak for you, how will you feel?
Mm-hmm. Do you find that, you know, student activism is very male-driven?
In a way,
involved?
Yes. I think it's because of probably the way student bodies elect their leadership itself. So the solution to this, it would be what is needed to empower more female leaders to come out and come forward, get themselves elected as student reps. Because you look at the population in our university,
mm-hmm.
majority is a female population.
Yes.
But they did not translate into the number of elected representatives from the female community.
Okay, so you need to work on that next. Yeah? We need to work on more females. Hock An, what does academic freedom mean to you?
Academic freedom, what does it mean? It's freedom to do my job, you know. Freedom for us as academics to ask questions as we are supposed to. It is our duty. It is also, of course, you know, what gives our work fulfillment. And seeking the answers and putting it into the public sphere, you know, generating public knowledge. Our role is not to have the final answer, but just to offer our perspective. And there are, you know, there will be differing perspectives on any number of things. So that should be the way it's done, to give the freedom so that the debate can go on. And so if anybody has any issue with what we say, that they will debate with us and not try and shackle us.
If you've been with University of Malaya for 13 years now?
Yeah, 13 and a half.
13 yes. and a half years, that's a long time. Why did you decide to continue working in academia with government? I mean, you can go out and earn a whole load of money, I can tell you that much. And, there's so many private universities who would grab you,
yeah.
But you've decided to soldier on.
I mean, yeah, the public universities are still, you know, I uphold, you know, I appreciate the notion, the institution of public universities, you know, because education should be public. There are also research oriented. I mean, there are some private ones, but I think for the most part, they have very, very, you know, they have heavy teaching loads and less research support. So there was this balance of the research and the teaching that I got in public universities. And it's the place where I have, you know, friends, and I appreciate the community as well. And I mean, I think when I first joined, it was also quite an exciting time, I think, to be an academic in the Reformasi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was about 2000, 2001. And yeah, so, you know, where the being in the university does give you the space to explore a lot of your own interests. I think there is a misunderstanding, misperception in the public, because people do often ask, "Wow, you're an academic. How can you say that? Mm-hmm. You're so daring." Actually, I don't feel like I'm being very, you know, very daring. I mean, not so much about the current issues about Solidarity for Azmi Sharam, but some of other writings, I've given my comments and been critical of policies and government. We can do it. There were no repercussions. It just say that there is, I think, quite a bit of self-censorship, and I would hope that there are not too many people who feel discouraged and they preclude themselves from considering a career in the public universities because they feel that we are under all this kind of pressures.
How do you self-censor, and where do you draw the line?
Well, I think in terms of what you choose to research, it could be this would apply more to the social sciences. That's my home. Also, in choosing how you say things, or just not going public. And sometimes, there are colleagues or instances where I've tried to encourage people to go public, to participate in the interviews, or to present their views publicly on issues that really wouldn't touch on partisan, at least, or any, that where they may venture into this territory where they would be engaged with what is your view on government policy, and maybe have to say something critical. But this just seemed to, be a certain, there is a climate of fear, that is for sure. But, well, we can see some of it, being overcome. We just hope that some momentum can continue.
2 years ago, you published a study about discriminatory hiring practices in the private sector, which got a lot of attention, actually. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, let me start with the positives. I did receive encouragement. There were people who said that. Well,
it comes to research is always the sample size. How big was the sample size?
Sample size was 3,012 resumes we sent to 753 job applications.
Okay, great. Yeah. Carry on.
So, I think we were able to defend, what we're saying with some confidence. The study is limited. It has its shortcomings. It was an attempt to bring something empirical and objective to a very heated issue. I think what came out of that. Well, I think Malaysians are they have really very strong preconceived notions, and many of the reactions were jumping to they just saw the headline and then we jumped to certain conclusions about what the study was about. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was touching on race, ethnicity, so that's hot button issue, society is still quite polarized, but. I think not on everything, obviously, and there are certain issues I think that are still quite divisive, and it doesn't help, I think, that people are, they huddle in their own polarized corner instead of trying to engage more.
Were you ever subject to external pressure when performing your academic duties?
I would say no. I mean, not. I think not in what's implied here, which is that I had to modify my view or my conclusions. I've always, felt that. I mean, you want to say things in a way that is justifiable from a professional standpoint. So, if sometimes, yes, I'm accused of, being a bit. well, non-committal, or it maybe come across that way. It's really, you know, in academics in general, sometimes they say on the hand this, and on the one hand this, on the other hand that. That's what we are called to do, and we don't want to commit to a very firm conclusion unless we can really say it. So I think that does upset people. And going back to that study, you know, a lot of the reaction was, well, why don't you just, you know, say it is this, it is obviously this. I said, no, it's not really so obviously that. It's not, you know. And so, but in terms of pressure, I would say, no, I have been able to work deciding. I think people need to decide for themselves that I, you know, will not be bothered about pressures.
We have problems in fresh graduates getting into the working world. Mm. Employers seem to be reluctant to hire them, especially coming out of public universities. And one of the feedback is that, one, our proficiency in English is not that great, and two, we are unable to think critically. And that is, you know, goes back to people like you, Hokan, in universities, and how you inculcate this culture of critical thinking. How do you do that? Because you have children who are coming from a certain type of education system, and critical thinking ideally should be inculcated from day one, not really when you come up to university.
So then
how do you get them to think out of the box when they, you know, arrive at your doorstep?
Well, you know, we do inherit and the entrance in the university after 12, 13 years in the schooling system. Of course, you know, that is some there are valid grounds to say that, look, there's very, you know, what can we do? Not very much that we can do. I think, though, that we can, of course. I know of, and from my experience through the public education system, where I was then in, you know, when I was thrust into a very different environment, I was, taken aback and I was thrown off a little bit. But with, I think, a right environment and support, you can gain that confidence. I think what's really important, and where we have completely off track, is that the importance of valuing and training our young to ask questions. I taught a course in critical thinking and research, and I made it, you know, the primary focus to train them about asking questions, because that is the skill that really matters, that matters more than having the answer. And we are too much in this kind of, you know, very, very, very rigid and formulaic type of system. And that even now, when we teach critical thinking, it's about, you know, define what is critical thinking, and instead of, you know,
practicing.
Challenging the mind. So I think it boils down to just the need to value first. And that's the difficult part, because to welcome questions means that the mentality needs to change of teachers. Some might feel threatened when students start to ask questions. I think we should say that, look, we are not the source ultimately for giving the answer. We are training you to ask questions, and where you can go for the answer, we will guide you. We will share with you our view. And let me just mention another thing, since I'm on this streak.
Yes.
Before I do want to hear from Vince, though, that I think another thing that kind of really galls me is that we also now this kind of mindset that there are no right or wrong answers, or that kind of tagline. It really galls me, because I think that it's intellectually lazy to just say anything goes. So we're not, I think there's a tendency to say that, oh, critical thinking means that just give whatever answer, or, you know, that there's no more, because there's no more one final answer, that any answer goes. I think a perspective should be that there can be many right answers and there can be many wrong answers. So we are setting, you know, we're applying our minds to finding good answers, but we're not going to be so, you know, lackadaisical to reject answers that are wrong, or not maybe not necessarily wrong, but unjustifiable answers.
Vince, has being involved in student activism sort of got you to think critically more? Is it practice?
Yes, yes. In many ways, you see, being a student activist, it gives you opportunity to explore different fields, different areas. Being a law student, you're involved on hand, your hands-on experience of what is happening on, and thus you're motivated to research on it and do something about it.
So has that helped you think beyond?
Yes, in many ways. Mm-hmm. If I were to compare myself now and when I first entered university, I'll say that there's a very big difference. I used to follow whatever the lecturers or teachers say in school without even questioning. But now, being involved in activism, it showed me a whole new perspective that there's always many right answers. There's no one standard answer that like you did in STPM.
Yeah.
Jawapan mesti ikut skema. Mm-hmm. Everything answer must be in the scheme. Mm-hmm. There can be many answers.
Right. That was purely to pass exams and to do well in them. So will solidarity for Azmi be turned into something else if Azmi succeeds in his case? And when's he going to court for his for the court to actually give their ruling? Do we know when?
The latest development is that his challenge about the constitutionality of the Sedition Act is being referred to the High Court.
Mm-hmm.
And November 7th is the date for that. But there are some, but that's not the full hearing yet or the trial for at the High Court. So, I think, you know, it's going to unfold over some period of time.
Okay.
And that's a big that's a big if. but you know, I think, yeah, we are not we rallied around a person and a particular trigger point of this sedition charge against Azmi Sharon, but obviously, you know, this is much bigger. It's about academic freedom. It's about freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and and one message that we keep getting, a message of support, is to keep the momentum going. Currently, you know, we didn't just hold one rally and then disbanded, but you know, we are trying to deliver on that, to keep the momentum going with forums, you know, and on Wednesday we've declared it Solidarity Wednesday for people to, you know, talk about the issues more, especially at University of Malaya. And so I think we don't know concrete plans, but I think as long as there is an appetite for this, as long as there's a need to, you know, to be promoting, advocating for academic freedom, freedom of expression, and the abolition of the Sedition Act, that we will be there in some form, some kind of campaign.
Whatever form.
Whatever.
Are you going to go beyond just having campaigns and forums and stuff like that, Vince, to influence this debate on the Sedition Act and academic freedom?
I think a certain of awareness has been, is there. After the campaign, so now it's about engaging people,
mm-hmm.
Engaging and convincing them, as well as motivating them, that why is this issue of academic freedom is important? Why is the Sedition Act has to go? Why is it unlawful? Why is Dr. Azmi Sharon challenging its constitutionality in court? Besides that, we have done many things. The Blue Ribbon campaign in our faculty, the Blue Ribbon signifies freedom of speech. We wear it every day. Right, and Solidarity Wednesday, like just Dr. Lee mentioned, every Wednesday we wear black as a protest against the Sedition Act, or we wear the Solidarity for Azmi Sharon shirt, mm-hmm. with Dr. Azmi's face on it. I think it starts to make people ponder, why are the law students or the University of Malaya students doing this? So thus stimulating the interest in this and engaging debates. And if there is one thing that this movement can transform, I hope it transforms into the result of the abolishment of the Sedition Act.
Mm-hmm. Lee, your message on academic freedom and student activism. You want to leave us with a message?
Well, it is something that in this point in history, you know, we have to fight for, and we have to... collective, you know, we have to band together. I think it's something that is of greater than, you know, just our own individual lives and circumstances. So, you know, I think it is a defining moment for the academic community to rally behind academic freedom. And do not think that just because your work is, you know, just in private and not touching on political, so-called political issues, that it doesn't affect you. But academic freedom affects everybody.
I think the private sector has got their stakeholders as well, and you know they need to tread carefully as well. But thank you both very much for joining me today. We wish you all the best, and we will be listening out for more news all over the place. Dr. Lee Hock An, who is the economics lecturer from UM and UM Academic Staff Association Coordinator for Solidarity for ASME, together with Vince Dunn, who's a law student from UM, a campaign coordinator for this movement, Solidarity for ASME, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.